He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And, well, we need to get this show on the road quickly here before we turn into the red. Doggone it. The Dow is up 6 right now. It was up about 70. 34,401. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager. We've got the NASDAQ's up 24. It was up about 60. 13,686. Maybe we're going to get another little rally coming in here. The S&P is up 3 to 4,200 right now. We've got the Russell 2000 small caps, which have had a pretty good year and look to still be undervalued, at least from the work I do. Russell 2000 up 15 right now. Best performer up 0.7% at 2,242. Crude oil is up 3 cents to 66.08. Gold is up $1.60, 1886. You know, we haven't seen that number for a while. It's closing in on 1900 once again, possibly. Silver's down a dime. Dimes used to be silver. Do you remember that when a dime was really silver? I don't know what it is now. It's mined from crypto something. I don't know what it is. Silver's down a dime. Euro, we don't care about the euro. The 10-year, look at that. We got a rally going on in the bond market today. You'd think that would help the NASDAQ. The 10-year is down a couple, 3 basis points right now to 1.58%. And speaking of Bitcoin and mining and all this kind of stuff, Bitcoin is down $173. It was down about $1,000, so we're seeing some buying coming into Bitcoin this morning. But Bitcoin was recently at $58,000, and it's currently at $37,606. If I'm not mistaken, that's a $20,000 per coin drop over the last couple of weeks. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We've had kind of a roller coaster ride already this morning, and right now we're going back up the roller coaster. You know how that track that those cars lock in and you start to slowly climb? Well, we're there right now. Now the Dow's up 32 at 34,426, and you got the NASDAQ now up about 35 points. We're off to a very good start here today with the portfolios that I manage, which, you know what, I took a big shift from growth to value in February. And, you know, sometimes you have clients that have unreasonable expectations. They come in like 3 months ago. They go through a big shift from growth to value. And, you know, they haven't made any money yet, and they're moving on. That's just the way this business is. You know, really investing with a money manager in a program, it's a 2 to 3 year period minimum. You know, so you ride through different cycles and whatnot, and you can't look at a 2 or 3 month performance from somebody. You look at the last 2 or 3 years, and that's published in my newsletter every weekend in the newsletter. Well, let's see. What happened yesterday? Did anything happen yesterday? Not really. It was kind of a quiet day yesterday. Well, it was a good day for the growth stocks. Okay, we haven't seen that for a while. We had a very rare occurrence yesterday wherein the growth stocks had a real nice rally. I wrote down some of the highlights. I know Applied Materials, I definitely have an asterisk by. And Cisco had a big day yesterday, Facebook, Google. And then the shipping stocks also had a very good day. The Baltic Dry Index, that's the most exciting index out there, the Baltic Dry Index. It's very dry. And it had a very good day yesterday. Of course, the ETF that's associated with that is BDRY, BDRY. Okay, I will. And it did very well yesterday. But other than that, the financials, there were some good spots in the financials. Charter Communications had a good day yesterday. Boeing had a good day yesterday. But I tell you what, Boeing's all over the place these days, very unpredictable. And that's about it. That's about the highlights from yesterday. So I think we can move on to today. And we'll see what is moving. I've had a pretty good chance here to go through several stocks this morning, and it's looking to me like right now it's a small-cap value rally that is going on in the market underneath the surface of those indexes. Inflation concerns may be softening a little bit. Whether that's right or not, I don't know. I think there is inflation out there. I see it almost everywhere. From the gas pump to the cheese counter, to the meat counter, to the fish counter. All right, I see it everywhere. The online retail stocks did pretty good yesterday. Carvana, Overstock, Chewy. They're the ones that sell dog bones online. Fiverr, Posh. I wouldn't be in any of those stocks right now. Those are high growth, very high multiple stocks that don't fit in this current theme of this market. You know, one of the biggest things in our industry, I think anybody who's been in the industry for any length of time, you know, I came from a completely different industry 23, 24 years ago. I was in the advertising industry, in the billboard industry, as an executive. And, I mean, I basically had every position you could imagine in the billboard industry. It was my father's company, and the boys eventually bought it from him, and it was a very good training ground about how the real world works, okay? And I remember going to the brokerage business, and, you know, you sit there for a few days waiting for your phone to ring, and you realize, you know what, that phone ain't going to ring. I could sit here for another 3 months, and it ain't going to ring. You eventually have to pick up that phone. And, you know, in the first few days, the first few weeks, and a lot of people can't get past this initial point. That phone weighs 500 pounds, okay? I once hired a guy to make some phone calls for me. He was an attorney. He had graduated from law school. He didn't like law school, so he thought he'd try. And he sat there for 2 days and stared at that phone. I should have got a picture or a video or something. He just stared at that phone. Well, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, if you don't know Bank of America, they kind of had a shotgun wedding during the 2008 financial crisis, and they're now one company. Otherwise, Merrill Lynch wouldn't be around today. They tell their broker trainees, no more cold calling. Well, cold calling is take a phone book, take a list of phone numbers, and go down one at a time and call them. Well, I mean, this isn't really done anymore anyways. You know, they have the robocalling and the, you know, it's so much high tech now for a broker to call up and say, hey, this is, you want to hear a good story? We got a stock here that we really like at Merrill Lynch. Now, this just doesn't happen anymore. And so Merrill Lynch is banning their brokers from making cold calls to push the latest hot stock as the firm shifts to more modern methods. Well, I was fortunate enough after a few months in the business to get on the radio. And I've been on ever since. And that was my passport in this industry. Others aren't so fortunate. It's tough slog out there. It's a very tough slog, especially in this day of zero commissions and Best Stocks Now apps that can help the do-it-yourselfer. Makes it very challenging for new people. I don't know what the attrition rate is of people coming into the business, but I got to believe it's 97%, 98% don't make it. Well, so what are they advising them to do instead of cold calling? They're going to urge their people to use internal referrals. Okay, hey, hand me a stack of names. Or LinkedIn messages for finding new clients. So I guess that's 2021. Internal referrals or LinkedIn messages. Merrill President Andy Sieg says we are leaning much more heavily on leads and referrals from the broader company. Well, maybe they ought to do a little radio. Maybe they ought to do a little TV. Generate leads. I don't know. It's up to them. But that is the new broker in 2021. Goldman sees $80 oil before year end. Well, you know what? If they're right, that's really good for the oil patch. That's really good for the energy sector. That's really good for the oil stocks. It's really bad if you drive an Escalade, you know. But I do own a few oil stocks now for the first time in a long time, and a few oil and energy ETFs, and I hope Goldman Sachs is right. $80 oil before year end. But there's no inflation. No, not here. We don't see any inflation. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow hanging on to a 21-point gain. NASDAQ hanging on to a 30-point gain. And the Russell 2000, a 9-point gain. Well, one other factor in oil prices, the oil sector, oil stocks, is Iran. They have agreed to extend the nuclear monitoring pact with the United Nations inspectors. And but as far as the bringing back the 2015 arrangement, which would allow Iran to export oil once again, that's still up in the air. But I would think that eventually that will probably get done, and that would put, you know, more supply out there on the market. But for now, the demand is very strong for energy and oil, people getting back to their normal lives, I guess, anxious to get out of the house. So I'm pretty bullish right now on the energy, that part of the energy sector. Now, on the other hand, solar. What's going on with solar? Okay, solar over the years, you know, there was always that point that solar needed to cross where it was cheaper than, you know, the traditional sources of energy like oil and gas, etc. Well, that's happened. Solar costs have come way down, but solar uses a lot of polysilicon. Oh, and there's a company out there that has a big hold on the polysilicon market. I'll talk to that in just a minute. But with a quadrupling, now remember, there's no inflation. Polysilicon has quadrupled, which makes solar module prices go up 18% year to date after plunging 90% over the previous decade. So the first problem that the solar makers had was the cost of their product just continued to go down and down and down and down, kind of like the you know, the PC makers. Everything gets smaller, it gets faster, it gets lighter, and it goes down in price. And that's what's been taking place in the solar industry for a long time. But now, with the quadrupling of the polysilicon prices, this is now a big issue. Makers of polysilicon have been unable to keep up with demand, lifting prices to as high as $25.88 per kilogram, up from $6.19 less than a year ago. Well, here's your assignment. Look up who the biggest suppliers are, publicly traded companies, of polysilicon. It's all one word. And that may point you in the right direction. Okay? Now, copper. Copper stocks, they were hot yesterday. Copper resumed its gains even as China battles against commodity price surge. So China's doing everything they can do to tamp down this big surge in commodity prices in this world where there's no inflation, according to the Fed. But copper continues to go up. One expert from Citigroup says, I don't think China can do much when it comes to copper. Citigroup's Max Layton tells Bloomberg, believing China will not be willing to slow its growth just to limit commodity prices. Layton also thinks the rally in commodities has just started. Oh, I agree. As the pandemic has caused a colossal backlog of home renovations and consumer goods, with a ton of pent-up demand in automobiles as economies reopen and people travel again. Amen to that. Now, you know, during my 22 years in the business, I would say, I mentioned one of the big mistakes people make. They go with the program for 2 or 3 months, and they say, well, you know, this isn't working. That's not how the market works. Or they invest in a theme. Let's just say everything returns to growth, and we return to the growth theme. And it does well for 2 or 3 days, and they're, yes, this is working. And then it doesn't do well for a week. And then they shift gears again. You know what? Once you've identified a theme in the market, there's going to be a lot of days where you think, am I right about this? Well, you have to have some conviction in the knowledge and the facts that you put together to arrive at this theme. You have to have some conviction. And if you're swayed by a few days of it not working, or a week of it not working, or one day where it doesn't work, well, these kind of people never make any money in the market, I'm sorry to say. That's one of the worst mistakes that investors can make. Goldman Sachs recently predicted that copper prices would hit $15,000 per ton by 2025. And, of course, the big names there are Freeport-McMoRan, Southern Copper, Teck, Inc., Hudson Bay Minerals, Turquoise Hill, Rio, and BHP. Those are your big names. And then, of course, there are some ETFs such as CPER, not CPR. That's what you need when copper prices don't work out. You need a little CPR. CPER is the copper ETF. And you've also got, JJC. And then you've got ETFs that encompass copper, aluminum, steel, a lot of commodities. Another sign of inflation that's not out there, according to the Fed. Ship orders turn around from historic lows to 7-year highs. Here's your Baltic Dry Index. Baby, this thing's not so dry. It's pretty exciting these days. Ship orders so far this year have reached the highest volume since 2014. Despite concerns from many owners about future propulsion methods. According to Clarkson Research, much of the move has come from surging box ship orders. That's your Baltic Dry Index. They're building ships as fast as they can. With 218 vessels of 2.2 million tons or more contracted year to date. Well, at any given time, we have up to six of these container ships at the entrance to the Wando River that I live on and the Cooper River, which splits. The harbor splits into two rivers, and that's where our ports are, and that's where these big container ships are. So far this year, 218 vessels contracted to be built. The Baltic Dry Index is BDRY. All right, now, here's a good one to end this segment on. Remember, there's no inflation. But if you believe that there is inflation, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get hotter, which I believe, well, there's an ETF for you, INFL. It's an ETF that can assist in solving inflationary concerns. Now, we took up this debate yesterday. There's a few people out there that are worried about deflation. I don't know of an ETF that benefits from deflation, I suppose the tech ETFs. But if you're looking for one that benefits from inflation, INFL, this is BILL. We'll be right back. That's right. There's something in the air. It's the guy. Oh, boy, that Dow is barely hanging on. Look at that. Up 1 point. Dang it. It just went red. It's down a point. Oh, now it's up two. This is fun. This is like ping pong. Anyways, I have gone through maybe 100 charts here so far during the show. It's a value rally. It's a value slash cyclical rally. Yesterday was just the opposite. It was a growth rally. And the value slash cyclicals were left behind. I had somebody complain that the market's up and my account's down. I'm done with you. You know what? Every day's different in the market. It's all about where we're at 1 year from now, my friend. Well, today, it's a value rally. But the preponderance of evidence here since February until now, May 25th, we've got a pretty good track record here of value clobbering growth. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. But somebody disagrees with me, and we'll get to that here in a bit. The U.S. House, they're always looking for a good debate. There's no shortage of those these days. They're debating whether SPACs are good for investors or just Vegas weddings. Well, if they were to call me to testify, here's what I would say. In my app, back in January, December and January, was adding 10 new SPACs, which are publicly traded entities and their symbols, into my app. 10 a day. That's unbelievable. That's just unheard of. Normally, you get two or three IPOs in a week. 10 a day. And I kept saying, this is not going to end well. And as I looked at those SPACs, which originally are just a blank check company. You don't even know what you're buying. You got a checkbook. You just bought a checkbook with somebody that's going to buy something someday. That's how ridiculous this whole thing is. And then eventually they would say, well, we're looking for something in the moon flight space, you know, rockets to the moon, or we're looking for something in the Bitcoin mining space. And it would go up dramatically just because they mentioned the word Bitcoin. And herein lies that comparison that I see between 2021 and the year 2000. I see a huge comparison where if you just mentioned the word .com or internet, the stock would fly. And we were seeing that in this SPAC market. And I continued to see these SPACs when eventually they did purchase something, and then they were part of a sector in the market. They had a name, they had a business, maybe, you know, at least they thought it's a business. They very rarely, I don't know of any that had earnings or sales yet, really, for the most part. So that was a big red flag to me, and that's why in February I said, you know what, I'm just backing out of all this high growth stuff. And others wrote it down 30-35%. Well, I think they will find. And I will tell you this, the SPAC market has dried up. Now, why is that? Why is that? We haven't seen a SPAC now for, a month? The other day, Alex Rodriguez, good old A-Rod, he was commenting on, you know, he's now the expert on SPACs. He's bringing a SPAC public, and he's convincing everybody. Well, here's what's wrong with the SPAC market. We know all about it. We're coming out with a SPAC that does this. Well, that was A-Rod. Didn't he testify before Congress before? I want to say he did during the whole steroid issue. Federal Reserve steps up research and outreach on a digital dollar. This is not good news for fans of Bitcoin bulls and cryptocurrency bulls. I continue to say that eventually the U.S. government will have its own digital currency, and it will frown heavily. Don't forget, they hold the regulation gavel. They can bring that down on the head of cryptocurrencies that they don't like at any given point in time, strangulating them with regulations. And that's not going to be a good thing for these pretty much free and open markets right now. After Fed, now this is an update since Jerome Powell talked about that paper, and he said there wasn't any rush. Well, another Fed governor came forward, Lael Brainard, and she said in a prepared speech for CoinDesk 2021 Consensus Conference, which she was attending, she says four developments have happened. The growing role of digital private money, the migration to digital payments, plans for use of foreign CBDCs in cross-border payments, and concerns about financial exclusion are sharpening the focus. Now, that should send a chill down the spine of anybody who owns cryptocurrencies. She says these issues are sharpening the focus on CBDCs. This comes from a Fed governor. Bank of England's Andrew Bailey calls cryptocurrencies dangerous. Well, he says if you want to invest in Bitcoin, this was back in 2017, he said be prepared to lose all your money. Well, so far he's been wrong. But he's still calling cryptocurrencies dangerous. And I won't use the word that Charlie Munger, the co-manager at Berkshire Hathaway, what he calls it. ARK Investment sees Volkswagen as a potential electric vehicle disruptor. Boy, I remember back in the 60s, you had to have a V-dub. You had to have a bug. With whatever engine, that lawnmower engine it had in it, or you had to have a VW van with surfboard racks and surfboards on top. Whether you surfed it or not, the chicks dug it. You know, you drive up to school, you park in the parking lot, you wet your hair a little bit with the mister, you got your surfboards on top. They think you've been out surfing. Ah, they like that kind of stuff. I never surfed. I was a body surfer myself anyways. Get whomped into the sand, you know, every once in a while. ARK Invest eyes Volkswagen as a potential electric vehicle disruptor. Well, I will say one thing about Volkswagen. It's a lot cheaper stock. I'm going to look up the P.E. ratio. Volkswagen's symbol is VWAGY. VWAGY. Its P.E. ratio is 6. It has a nice chart. Now, let's look up Tesla's P.E. ratio and chart. Tesla's P.E. ratio is 207. 207 times earnings. You've got Volkswagen at 6 times earnings. Tesla's chart just does not look good. It does not look good. It looks to me like it's headed for a death cross with the 50-day crossing below the 200. That looks imminent. Tesla is holding on for all it's worth to this 200-day moving average right now. And PEs like this and price to sales that Tesla sports just are not very popular in this market right now. Nevertheless, Kathy Wood disagrees with me. Why do I talk about her every day? Because Tesla's in the news every day. Elon Musk is in the news every day. Kathy Wood is in the news several times per day. Kathy Wood believes the rotation to value, which I've been talking about, occurred in late February, during the month of February. She says it will unwind in the next 6 months and perhaps sooner. Well, that's her opinion. A recent note put out by Kathy Wood, CEO and CIO of ARK Invest, states that the rotation from growth into value has strengthened the bull market. Wood has echoed this phrase on multiple occasions, assuring market participants understand her position. Well, why? Here's what she's not answering. Why has the market rotated from growth to value? And why would it rotate back to growth? I think it's all about valuation myself. the valuations on the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are astronomically high. That makes it very difficult for individual stocks to continue moving up that have astronomically high P.E. ratios and price to sales. That's just not a good place to be. And last but not least, in the news again today, Tesla lands a cautious rating from Wells Fargo. Hey, they agree with me. In its first ratings look. Now, this got to tell you something about Wells Fargo. This is the first time they've rated or looked at Tesla. How long has it been around? Tesla lands a cautious rating from Wells Fargo in its first ratings look. They assign a price target of 590 to Tesla. Tesla is currently trading at 601. That's not a very good look, is it? We'll be right back. Try to bring you a good one for a change here. We've talked about some duds here in the last 45 minutes. Try to find a live one for you, okay? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, June the 22nd, June the 23rd, June the 24th. What do they all have in common? We'll be in Sarasota, beautiful Sarasota, Florida, where we're heard every day at 11 a.m. And you're looking at your watch saying, gosh, it's... You're doing the show. Well, we're an hour delayed in Sarasota. That's why. That's how long it takes for my voice to get to Sarasota. But we're going to be at the Lakewood Ranch office, which we now have boots on the ground, high heels on the ground, I suppose, in Sarasota, which I've wanted for a long, 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 long time. I just didn't want, I love it. I just, you know, I'm happy where I live here, and I can only be at one place at one, but I'm going to travel down there. I haven't done a workshop in a year. You talk about dusting off the cobwebs. Man, I've been so anxious to get in front of a group of people. It's hard just staring at a river, you know, all day long. No people, you know, just it's been difficult. I like interaction with people. I like conversation. I like laughing. I like joking. I like questions. I even like rude questions. What the heck? It's been so long. Well, we're going to do the workshop on Wednesday the 23rd at the Grove. You all know where the Grove is down there in Sarasota. That's going to begin at 6:30. We're going to check people in. 6:30, check people in. We'll start at 7, and I'll get you home so you get time for, you know, your bedtime at 8. 8:15, whatever, try to bring you the best information that I can possibly bring you during that hour. And then I'm going to be involved in the appointments after the show at 10 for 3 days with the team. And then, of course, Barry and Paul will be involved with clients, my current clients that want an appointment. And I'll do my best to pop my head in the door and say hello. You know, I try to be in as many places as I possibly can while I'm down there, but you can meet the people that man that Sarasota office, and I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. If you want to make reservations to that, you can call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or you can go to my website. My website is still GundersonCapital.com. Pretty soon we'll have it all integrated with Southport Capital, but I'm still GundersonCapital.com, and we're going to keep that domain name because so many of you are used to that. All right, let's go with a featured stock of the day. Well, as a guy who believes there's inflation out there, and there's inflation that's getting a little bit out of control, it's getting a little bit scary. To me, it's getting scary. I've talked a lot about lumber prices, I don't know if you've priced a 2x4 at Home Depot lately, but I know that lumber prices have gone way up. Well, one of the stocks I own in my emerging growth portfolio is Resolute Forest Products, which is RFP symbol. The market capitalization is $1.3 billion. Okay, that's a far cry from the $250 billion, the $700 billion. This is way down at just $1.3 billion, which makes it a micro cap. I usually say once a company gets above 1.5 to 2, somewhere in there, it becomes a small cap. So this is a micro cap stock, but they've been around a long time. They're a manufacturer of coated and specialty paper, newsprint, lumber products, and bleached market pulp, which you don't want to eat for breakfast. Resolute Forest Products has probably one of the strongest momentum stocks in the entire market. It's probably one of the most strong. It's got a, on a scale of 1 to 99, it's 99. And in my scale system where I grade them, let's see, I'm sure it's an F, I mean, I'm sure it's an A-plus momentum grade of A. Okay, not quite A-plus, but A. Now, the second part of my whole equation is valuations. I don't want to own a stock just because it's going up. There has to be a the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? There has to be a fundamental foundation underneath it. And for me, the rock and the foundation is the valuation. It's currently trading at 9x forward earnings. Well, the market's trading at 22x, right in there. And it's expected to grow by 15% per year. So when I divide that forward PE into the growth rate of 15, I get a PEG ratio of 0.58. All in all, RFP, you know, it's ranked number 806 right now. Out of 5,812. But having said that, it has been ranked higher recently, enough for me to buy it. And it currently checks all the boxes of low PE, low forward PE, good growth, discount to growth, low PEG ratio, and in the right sector. And I think just about any commodity-related sector which benefits from inflation as a favorable sector. So it checks all the boxes. We'll make RFP, Resolute Forest Products, our featured stock of the day. And no, they don't mine bitcoins. They harvest timber. They harvest timber and wood. And with the boom that's going on in the housing shortage, it's just all driving prices higher. All right, well, you know, we've got our newsletter that comes out every week. You can check those portfolios, what I own, what I bought, what I've sold. You get 2 free weeks of that full enchilada newsletter with everything in it, all the portfolios. And then I cut you back a little bit. No more portfolios. You get to see everything else, though. And then I cut you back a little bit more, and you get the standard newsletter, Until You Cry Uncle. I've got people that have been getting it for 22 years, and they still refuse to do business with me. What does that say? I don't know. But, you know, they do-it-yourselfers, or they're playing with $500, you know, IRA, whatever the case may be. I produce that newsletter. We're getting it out earlier now. I've taken charge of sending it out. And I do it, I write the newsletter on Thursday, Friday, and at the latest it's going to go out Saturday morning. But I'm really determined to get it out Thursday evening, all right? So we'll see how we do this week. You'd like to get in touch with us, GundersonCapital.com, or give us a call. Our toll-free nationwide number is 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.